Hi, how are you doing? Good, nice to hear it. That's about as pleasant as I get. Later on today's program, we're going to speak to a high-ranking official with Facebook. Facebook is desperately trying to fix its image. Desperately. To the point where they had to come on this show to explain themselves. So we're going to speak to them later on in the program. In the meantime, I'm going to act like a clown buffoon, and I don't know what the hell's going on.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Okay, here we go.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Really?
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program, everybody. Make yourselves comfortable. I don't like it when my audience is all rattled. Just relax. Let me drive for the next half hour or so. You just take it easy. You just fall asleep while I'm talking. You consider this to be your little meditation where you listen to the show and you fall asleep within a couple of minutes, get a nice little rest. That's what I'm here for. I knew I served a purpose in life. I put people to sleep. Thank you very much. That's my goal. I could stimulate you in many regards. I could hold up a picture of a little puppy dog. Yeah, that always works. Or I could hold up a picture of me lying in a hospital bed after my hernia operation. Like that, huh? How about a picture of my athlete's foot that I had last summer because apparently my sneakers had some type of fungus in it. And I had these little bumps and rashes on my feet. You want to see a picture of that? Look at this.
Aww.
I know, and it only gets better. Here's a picture of a lung after someone who has been smoking for 50 years, 2 packs a day.
Aww.
No, I know, and it only gets better from there. Here's a picture of my grandmother. Well, that's it.
Aww.
That's better. Here's my picture of a grandmother holding a puppy dog that just had a hernia operation.
Aww.
With an athlete's paw problem.
Aww.
I think I've pretty much milked this one pretty clean. I feel guilty sometimes in doing this show because I do all the talking and I never ask how you are. And then my guilt goes away when I realize I don't really care that much. So it's a fleeting guilt, much like people who go to church on Sundays. It's a fleeting kind of religious thing. You go to church, you sit there, you stand up when they tell you to, you sit down when they tell you to, you act very, very pious and very God-fearing, and then as soon as you leave the church, you have a couple of drinks, you're drunk, and you start slapping people around. You know, I don't know what it's about. I really don't. I'm confused by everything pretty much, and that's what keeps me going. Boy, if I wasn't confused by anything, what would I do? Just drink water all day? Well, I do that now. My poor bladder. What I put it through. I don't think my bladder thought that when it was growing up in my body that someday I'd be drinking an entire jug of water every single day. I don't think my bladder really expected that. So some of my other organs are helping out. Yeah, my kidneys, I think, are pretty much saying, all right, we'll get in there. We'll help process some of this stuff that this guy is throwing down his throat all of a sudden. What's up with that? Here's my conundrum in life, ladies and gentlemen. When you hit about 50 years old, here's the conundrum. I've spent most of my years abusing my body with all types of horrible things, with fats and fried foods and cigarettes and alcohol and staying up all night. I've just abused my body to its limits. I've taken the product and I've smashed it and paid no regard. I don't worship my body, nothing. I take it for granted. Then when you hit 50 years old, and sometimes many years before that, you realize that, oh my God, what have I done to me? And then you say to yourself, that's it, I'm going to eat healthy, only salads, only rabbit food. I'm not going to do anything out of the ordinary. I don't want to fall down and break my hip. I've got to be careful. What's the strange thing growing on my arm? How come all of a sudden I have allergies every day? Why can't I sleep? Why am I urinating every 10 minutes? What's happening to me? It's just a definite cutout. It's like you wake up the next morning and all of a sudden your body is saying, okay, it's time to pay. You've abused me for so many decades. It's time to pay up, Buster. And you do. And then you have to say to yourself when you get older, okay, should I really enjoy myself? Because, you know, it's time to enjoy myself, or should I really be very, very careful about what I do? It's a big conundrum, and nobody can really answer the question unless they're in the moment. Case in point, I was at a restaurant recently, and on the menu was a salad for lunch, a salad, or a piled high Reuben sandwich, which is corned beef, hot pastrami, whatever you want, on rye with mustard, sauerkraut, and so much processed meat that a cow would die from this thing. I really wanted that Reuben sandwich with that Russian dressing dripping right between the sauerkraut strands and the meat glistening with its finest greasy components. I really wanted that sandwich. But on the other hand, there was this salad which would get me through another day of life. I ordered the pastrami because the overriding thing that was going in my mind was, hey, baby, you only live once. Go for it. It's temptations in life, man. Life is knowing which road to take when you're at the big fork. And it's not just one big fork. There's a lot of forks in this road of life. And you don't always take the right one. And when you do, you say, oh, I should have taken the other one. And when you take the other one, you say to yourself, oh, I should have taken the other one. You can't win. You just can't win. So I don't win. That's the bottom line. Choices, man. It's all about choices. I've lived most of my life with the following phrase. When in doubt, don't. When in doubt, don't. That's the opposite of take chances. Which road are you going to take, Ron? Are you going to take chances? Or when in doubt, just don't. Keep it the same. Which paths have you taken in life? And have they worked for you? Have you tried both paths? Here's a path that bothers me, and I'm going to talk about it just once and then never talk about it again for another 10 minutes. I recently had a house guest in my house, which defines the term house guest. This house guest was in my house for an entire month. I don't know why, but I guess I didn't have the balls to say, look, you've been here long enough, get the hell out of here. That's what I thought in my head. But because I am a human being, I thought it'll be over someday, just leave it alone. When in doubt, don't. So this young lady, a fine young lady, there was nothing wrong with her. She stayed in my house for a month. And she was from another country. Wonderful, wonderful woman. She might even be listening to this show. I don't know. She's a wonderful, wonderful girl. I moved my stuff out of the bathroom so she could have the bathroom. You know, I didn't want to mix stuff. I walked into the bathroom one day and decided I had to go to the bathroom because of all the water I drink, sat on the toilet, and I looked over to the side where the toilet paper roll is, and I was taken aback with something that I could not believe. To my right, hanging off the wall next to the toilet, is the roll of toilet paper, as is in most houses. But I, through my entire lifetime, through careful speculation, have always made sure that the toilet paper comes from on top of the roll and not from under. There's only two ways to mount a roll of toilet paper: over the top or under from the bottom, the collection of those sheets. I have always had my toilet paper come from over the top. Always. It's been the constant in my life. It's been the only constant in my life, is how that toilet paper is. I've seen other people in my house do this. They purposely change the direction of the toilet paper so it comes out from under. That's what she did. And I tried to be understanding that as I, through my whole life, had the toilet paper come from over, she, through her entire life, especially coming from this other country, may have been used to having the toilet paper come from under. Now, I'm not going to call her out on this and have this conversation that I've had with a lot of people, by the way, because I am so petty, that when the toilet paper comes from under the roll, you're wasting a couple of sheets of paper every time. Because when you tear the toilet paper off when it's rolled from under, you're wasting sheets. When the sheets are coming from over the top, your perforation and your tear is done right in front of you at the exact point where you are tearing. That saves up to two sheets per tearing experience. Not only is it more economical, but it tends not to unravel as easily. Now, you're probably saying, Ron, you are really pathetic. And my answer to that is, yeah, what's your point?
It was unbelievably painful.
I know. Are we done talking about this? You brought it up. I didn't bring it up. I was just talking, and you said, Ron, what about your toilet paper? And I said, well, I don't really want to talk about that, but if you insist.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
My guest coming up pretty soon is with the Facebook organization. You've heard of them? It's a rather large organization. Facebook people, it's probably the largest company on the planet. You don't touch it. And the reason is that nobody understands it. Nobody knows what's going on. We have blindly been drawn into the web of stealing your personal information with the knowledge that this is happening. We get upset, but we don't get upset enough because we like it. It's true. We like Facebook. We're so used to communicating through it, be it good, be it bad, it doesn't matter. What are the positive aspects of Facebook? They can be listed. When you have a birthday, Facebook tells everybody that you've ever had any contact with that it's your birthday. And for a day, you feel like hundreds of people are recognizing you. When in fact, 90% of them don't give a shit. And you can tell by when they send you the birthday greeting, it simply says, "Happy birthday, Joe." These aren't your friends. These are people that are robotically committed to responding to things because they're just passively doing it. They are not your friends. They don't care at all. It's false emotions. Yet it makes you feel good, so fine. Perhaps you have family members that are in other states or in other countries. You can communicate with them. That's another good thing. Telephones are far too expensive and far too engaging socially. So Facebook kind of takes the place of that. You can organize things with other people, find groups of people that agree with you and that will pat you on the back incessantly so that you feel better about yourself. You also can walk around saying in the back of your mind, "I have 1,000 friends." You realize you don't. It's just 1,000 people have nothing else to do but placate you. Those are the positives of Facebook. Let me now list the negatives. I don't give a crap what you had for dinner last night, nor will I ever. The fact that you even tell me what you had for dinner last night and actually send me a picture of what you were eating means you have tremendous problems in your life. There would be no point at all for me to know what you had for dinner last night. I don't care. I'm not your friend. So if you want to tally up those numbers and that makes you feel good, like you're surrounded by thousands of people, then you go for it. But that's a negative because that's delusional. Don't send me pictures of what food you had last night or your new pair of sneakers. To you, you're excited that you got a new pair of sneakers. What you don't understand is nobody else cares. Sure, there's always going to be those people that are going to hit that like button. Like, "Oh, you got new sneakers. I'm vastly interested in that. They're beautiful sneakers." Don't misread that. They don't care. They're just trying to shut you up. The biggest problem with Facebook is why they exist to begin with. It's invasion of privacy. And because of that recent incident, we now know that Facebook takes your information and sells it to companies, to advertisers, to marketers. Did you think that Facebook was just put together so that you could know that everybody knows your birthday is today? That was the reason that you think Facebook actually wants to socially bring the world together with love and peace? No. They can tell you they do, but you gotta know they don't. it might be a component that works in their favor in order to sell information to people, but it's not their primary purpose. Their primary purpose is to make money. So either they sell Facebook ads to companies to market you, which is understandable. It's done on television. It's done on the radio. There's nothing wrong with that. I think what we all object to is having our personal information sold to marketing firms and to companies, sold for money to them. I have no problem being marketed or advertised to. I'm not paying to have it done otherwise. I'm not paying for a no ads kind of thing. But for Facebook to make money off of my private information being sold, that's where the line is drawn. And they can deny all they want that that's what they do, but it is what they do. It's why they exist. Somehow, when you set up your Facebook account, there were pages of things to scroll through, and at the bottom, you just clicked on I accept, because everybody has a Facebook page, and you can't have a Facebook page without clicking I accept. Did anybody ever read every single page to see what you were agreeing to? No, nobody did. Not one person on the planet did that. Does that mean that now you have agreed to sell your private information? No, because you didn't read the thing. Nobody did. What kind of private information is being sold? Well, it kind of depends. There are two phases of this. The first phase is your birthday, your birthday, where you were employed, where you are employed, who your relatives are, where you live, what your address is. All that information that you very handily give up by posting it on your Facebook page so that the world knows where you live and what you do and what your history is and where you came from and where you were born makes it real easy for people to steal your identity with a couple of more pieces of information. You got yourself a green light on that one. So the idea is don't fill in all that information or don't make it accurate. Sure, it's your birthday, but not in that year. You know what I'm saying? The other thing is, even if you're careful about that, when you have conversation with anybody on Facebook, it's not private. If you're having conversation, try this. Give this a shot and tell me if it... Seriously, try this. Have a conversation on Facebook with one of your Facebook friends, you know, on your little Facebook, and talk about the fact that you want to go to Miami for summer vacation. Talk about it extensively. Talk about it in a few conversations that you're really looking to go to Miami. You'd really love to go on vacation in Miami. Tell me if within about a week's time, there are pop-up ads on the right of your Facebook little page about trips to Miami, about Miami hotels, flights to Miami. Let me know if that happens, because if it does, your conversations are being watched and used to market either for you or against you. Those conversations you have on Facebook, my friend, are not private. You didn't click the private thing, and even if you did, it may not be private. But as long as you're doing the public Facebook thing, ooh, I think you've given up that right. And Facebook would say to you, you click public, so like, what? Yeah, but I didn't authorize you to make money off of my conversations. Your perception of what Facebook is totally different than what Facebook thinks Facebook is. So all I'm saying is, wake up. Now, am I being paranoid? Am I making up some type of conspiracy? No. Is it true? I'm not sure. But it sounds like it is, and it sounds like it could be. So try that little trick. Try that little conversation with somebody on Facebook, and let me know what happens. You may be surprised, or you may not. I don't really know. We're going to talk to Facebook in just a second. And in doing so, I am going to be very polite, because Facebook can kick the crap out of me if they want to. They're big people. So I'm going to play it very nice. But at the same time, I thought it was important that I give my little spiel first. Okay? Fine. Here we go.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap?
Yes, I am.
Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Hey, Ron, it's Katie. Great to meet you.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Katie Harbeth helps lead Facebook's global civic engagement and elections effort. And, you've been around for a while. You've had some pretty prominent positions here. Pretty cool.
Oh, thank you. I've been blessed to have been working in the field for quite some time.
Yes. So now you're representing Facebook, and of course there's been some. She's the outreach director at Facebook for government outreach. Facebook is running ads now about being very conscious of what had happened recently during the prior election, and is actually tightening things up, I understand.
Yes, protecting the integrity of elections on our platform is one of the top priorities for the company. And last week we launched a feature as part of those initiatives to bring more transparency to political ads on Facebook. So now while people are scrolling through their newsfeed, if they see an ad from a candidate or a political party, mm-hmm. they're going to see not just that it's sponsored, but also the words paid for by and the entity that paid for it. And then they can even go into an archive to see all of the ads that those candidates and political parties have been running, as well as being able to see how much money was spent mm-hmm. and the age, gender, and the state location of those people who saw the ads.
Really? Oh, wow. Okay. Now, tell me why, for certain segments of the public that may not be familiar, why is that important to Facebook and to its users?
We've heard a lot of feedback from people that they really want to know who is paying for the ads that they're seeing on Facebook, particularly mm-hmm. political ads. And, you know, by being able to see who's paying for them and who is seeing those ads, they can hold their elected leaders and those who want to represent them accountable for the messages that they're sharing with voters.
Yeah, okay. And this is all under the guise of transparency, which is something that I don't think a lot of American people are. Transparency has been so untransparent that we don't really understand what transparency is anymore.
I think that, you know, one of the things, particularly when it comes to advertising online, because candidates could target ads, so let's say, mm-hmm. you know, women aged 35 to 45 who live in a particular state,
yes.
people wouldn't always see all of the messages that they were sharing with voters. And so what we mean by transparency is making sure that people, journalists, watchdogs, groups, mm-hmm. can see all of the messages that they're sharing with voters.
Yeah, yeah. And if they weren't transparent, then would it be something like? But isn't all advertising based on trying to sway somebody in a manner where they're bombarded to a point that they're thinking in a different direction?
I think that, you know, with advertising, there can be a lot of different goals that we see mm-hmm. when it comes to politics or advertising in general. And our goal with these new features is to, again, make sure that people know who is paying for those ads
right.
and also be able to see all the messages mm-hmm. that they're seeing, not just the ones that are targeted specifically to them.
Okay. Now, you're doing this radio tour and TV tour, I would assume, but what other ways can we make sure that, because it seems like the real message is that Facebook is providing this information to you for this reason. So I think it's more important for the public to understand that this is even being done than the fact that it's done at all.
I think, you know, that's our goal as part of, you know, protecting the integrity of elections. Mm-hmm. And as transparency is just one of the things that we're doing in addition to trying to combat foreign interference, removing fake accounts, right, and reducing false news, in addition to also launching our civic products such as our Election Day reminders to help support an informed electorate.
Right. I wish political ads had some type of fact-checking component to it where they can't be run or dispersed if they're like total lies on either side, you know, but that's not the way it works, I guess.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that our goal was with doing this archive and providing this transparency, yeah, is so that, again, whether it's journalists or citizens or other watchdog groups, mm-hmm, can see these ads and they can do that sort of fact-checking on them.
Yes, yes. I wish the American public was smart enough to do some fact-checking sometimes to understand that, you know, as opposed to somebody walking up to you in the street saying, tomorrow the earth is going to end. Oh, my God, it's going to end tomorrow. You know, it's just, it's unfortunate. But I'm glad that Facebook is taking steps to at least put it out on the table like that.
Well, and I think, you know, we do think this is one of the steps. But, you know, people we find have a wide variety of views that, yeah, they see on Facebook. You know, you have in your friends and family and the people you see every day, they don't all think the same. And the same is on Facebook.
Right.
And we think that it can be a good place to get a wide variety of views, actually.
It can be. Yes, it is. But I think most people are just like yearning for the day where they could just hook up with their friends and they could know that it's your birthday and, you know, communicate with somebody who's on the other end of the country. And, you know, that's kind of like that's the sweet spot of it all.
I think that's totally fair. You know, I use Facebook every single day. My,
yeah,
family lives in Wisconsin. I'm in D.C.
Yeah.
So I get to stay connected with them every day. But, you know, it's also, we have seen a lot of really great use cases where people have used Facebook in order to be able to,
yes,
organize around a particular,
yes,
issue,
yes,
or to raise awareness for something that they really care about.
Yes. Hey, if Facebook does one thing to make people smarter and more aware and to think twice, then I think they've done an incredible social justice as well. So that's a good thing.
We really appreciate this. This is something that we take, yeah, incredibly seriously, and this is just one of the first steps that we're doing to, again, protect the integrity of elections, not just through the primaries, but through the midterms in,
yes,
November.
Which is very important. That's what this is all about. Any other things we need to know?
No, I think, you know, if people want to go and see the ad archives, they can go to facebook.com/political-content-ads. And they can search for any candidate or political party and see the ads that they're running.
Great. Katie, thanks for giving us this information, and I'm happy that Facebook is taking these steps to inform people. That's a good thing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, fine. That's life in a handbasket, or hell in a handbasket, one or the other. I don't know what the term is or what it even means. So there's your information. Take it with whatever grain of salt you wish to put on your salted food. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. By the way, you can visit my Facebook page. It's Ron Van Dam Show. I think it's New England Broadcasting, Ron Van Dam Show. That's New England Broadcasting, Ron Van Dam Show on Facebook. Don't bother, though.